This morning, our Bible lesson is from Revelation, not one of my favorites, and probably not one I understand very well. It's in the New Testament, excuse me, on page 235, and in the large print Bible on page 303. This is Revelation 7, 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The responsive Psalms reading is Psalms 34, found in your hymnal on page 769. Found it. I will bless the Lord at all times. God's praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes it boast in the Lord. Let the affliction hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. I sought the Lord, who answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Look to God and be radiant, so your faces shall never be ashamed. The poor cried out, and the Lord heard, and saved them all of their troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear God and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you, his holy ones, for those who fear God have no want. The young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Which of you desires life and covets many days to enjoy good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. The ears of the Lord hear their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. The Lord keeps all their bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord deems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in the Lord will be guided. Word of God for the people of God.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It can be found on page 225 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 291 if you're using the large print edition. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And I believe the gospel will wake you up. Let me ask all those to rise to hear and to respect the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. It's at the very beginning of the New Testament section of your pew Bible on page 4, or in the large print edition, also find it on page 4. So hear these words. This clearly is a Sunday when we're going in places that we haven't been recently. So we're going back in Matthew today. When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. Then He began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Once again, the pastor's wife is wandering around. Hey, I tell you what, let's stop the clipboard. Can we just put her down for right now? You just put it down. Thank you. Thanks, Rick. Appreciate your efforts. Well, today, as I'm sure by now you're fully aware, we are celebrating All Saints Sunday. And you know, it's kind of a curious tradition in some respects. Historians tell us that All Saints Sunday was literally John Wesley's favorite service of the Christian year. However, when he revised the calendar and the lectionary for Methodists in North America, he didn't even include it. This may be part of the reason that the lectionary offers United Methodists two very different options for this Sunday. They can either celebrate All Saints Sunday or simply continue on with the flow of readings for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost. Well, obviously, I chose to celebrate All Saints Sunday because of the richness and the meaning of this traditional celebration. The understanding of what constitutes a saint is a bit nuanced, depending on whether you're asking a Roman Catholic or a United Methodist. The simple explanation for United Methodists is that the word saint refers to all Christian people. On All Saints Sunday, in our tradition, we are celebrating the walk with Christ of all Christians, living and dead. Let me explain a bit further. We started today with a reading from Revelation, the very last book of the Bible. But let's now go in the opposite direction to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, to remember when God brought about creation. After the fifth day, God had made the heavens and the earth, the water and the lights, and the birds and animals and creeping creatures. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God's likeness, He created them. Male and female, He created them. So, in John Wesley's understanding of theology, from this Bible passage, God created all humankind in God's image, in God's likeness, that is, with the nature of God. This was God's original and continues to be God's intent. Things almost immediately got fouled up when Adam and Eve exercised that devil of a human attribute, free will. When Adam and Eve chose to eat of the forbidden fruit, they committed what came to be known as original sin. By that act, humankind fell away from the ideal image of God. But, and this is the monumental but, by God's all-powerful grace and the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God has offered us a way out of this pickle, a way to return to this original image of God, just as God always intended. Here's the Wesleyan understanding of this amazing and saving grace of God. When you are born, by no fault or virtue of your own, just because God loves you, you are offered prevenient grace. That is, God's unconditional love, even before you have ever heard of God or Jesus Christ. For most of us, we were babies, after all. But when you grow up and your parents teach you the stories of the Bible, and you begin to internalize the good news of Jesus Christ, you reach a point where you acknowledge how much God loves you. You accept God's love, and you understand that just like every other human being, you are a sinner. Well, God offers you faith in Christ and the opportunity to literally turn your life around, to go 180 degrees in a new direction back toward God through justifying grace. Now, once you're divinely justified, you still sin, but you're moving in the right direction and you understand what you need to do. As you begin to mature more fully in your faith and to follow Christ more closely, you can approach that original image of God through sanctifying grace. John Wesley believed that it was theoretically possible to be fully sanctified in a human lifetime, but he also believed that he had never achieved this state of holiness himself. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound indeed. We come then to the beautiful image from John's Revelation, where he's looking into the throne room of God at the end of time. This is the image that's captured by the artist on the cover of your bulletin. And it's not exactly what you read in Revelation, but that's what the artist was trying to capture. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, singing, 'Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.'" And this following section may well be the image that comes to mind when you consider your loved ones who have died and gone on to their rest with Christ. You may well envision what John was seeing. "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you're the one that knows.' Then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. This is indeed a beautiful and comforting image. When you think about saints as all those Christian people living or dead, you come upon a fascinating distinction that stems from Roman Catholic as well as Methodist theology. The difference between the church militant, that is, living Christians, and the church triumphant, Christians who have returned to Christ. Methodists define the church militant as engaged in constant warfare against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and in that respect is distinguished from the church triumphant. The church militant includes all Christian denominations, such as Methodists, Presbyterians, Baptists, Congregationalists, Episcopalians, among many others. In the same fashion, it defines the church triumphant as in heaven, and consists of those who have washed their robes and made them immaculate and pure in the blood of the Lamb. So, as we celebrate All Saints Sunday, we are indeed celebrating the faith and lives of all Christian people. If you have ever participated in a traditional United Methodist funeral, and certainly if you've ever been part of a funeral at which I have officiated, you have heard part of today's reading from 1 John. Beloved, we are God's children now, but we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when Jesus is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. This is the take-home message for us living Christians, the church militant, if you will. John speaks in terms that are parallel with Wesley's words. When Jesus is revealed at the end of times, we will be like Him. That is, we will return to that glorious image of God through God's sanctifying grace, because we have this wonderful hope in God. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. All of us with this hope in God need to accept God's justifying grace, to turn our human lives back around in the direction of Christ and work on purifying ourselves just as Jesus Himself is pure. But what does that look like, to purify yourself? Well, it looks like the descriptions that Jesus offers in the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the peacemakers. Go back and read through that list of what constitutes living in the image of God's kingdom. To purify yourself in a very practical sense is to attend to those means of grace that Wesley described: reading and studying the Bible, daily prayer, Sunday worship, participating in the sacraments, small groups, Christian conferencing, anything and everything that brings you closer to God. In response to the totality of today's Bible readings, Reverend Taylor Burton Edwards summed it up beautifully with this simple sentence: saints embody new creation. Think about that. It's simple yet profound and comprehensive. Saints embody new creation. To conclude my message, I want all of us to go before God in silent prayer with the following people in our hearts. Since All Saints Sunday in 2013, 1 year ago, we have relinquished back to God several saints in the church triumphant: Cecil Hostetter, Jim Berry, Emmett Brown, Denise Watson, Margaret Kellums, Mark Pennells, Betty Pock, Glenn Jerome, Pelaki Lokotui, Helen Skutkan's brother, and several other relatives or church members. My brothers and sisters, take a few moments right now to go to God in silent prayer and remember all those saints who have left us. Let us pray. My dear friends in Christ, may God bless all the saints. Amen.